Welcome to the ENC Wedding Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Bertling. I really appreciate you being here to listen as we discuss tips to help you plan your wedding. And even if you are not from or are planning to have your wedding in the Eastern North Carolina area, I'm sure you will find our topics beneficial to you in your planning process. In our podcast, we'll have area professionals, brides, grooms, and others participating in discussions that will assist you in your planning. And it is my hope to help you reduce your stress level as well. Hello, everyone. On this podcast, we are going to talk about how to wow your guests. Joining me today is Fusion Wedding Professionals Mark Rohrig and Bill Stafford of Stafford Entertainment.
Nailed it, Jennifer. Nailed it.
Mark's teasing me because I always say his name wrong. It's Rohrig.
Good morning, Jennifer and
Good
Mark
morning.
Rohrig as well. Happy to be a part of the show today.
Welcome.
And look forward to also being a part of the Fusion Wedding Group, which has joined forces with of recent as well.
Right. Very good.
A real evolution coming.
So there's lots of ways to wow your guests at a wedding. And I think one of the top ones is actually hiring live entertainment. So that's what we're going to talk about today. There's something sophisticated about bringing in a band for your wedding. And plus, people remember how much fun they had. And they'll take that with them, talk about it the next day, the next week, the next year. So, Bill, I know that you have planned not only your son, but three daughters' weddings.
That is correct.
And also, of course, you have a background with these bands. So tell us a little bit about why a band makes a difference at a wedding.
A band sets the tone of a wedding reception, not the wedding. The wedding is certainly, it's all about the bride and the groom. But it's the after show, the after resonance of making a special occasion, which it already is, but it's the accentua on the expectation. And when people come in and they see a live band, if it's a live band, you should already know that it's going to be a live band. You should be able to recognize any band that's doing a wedding as, oh, they're going to be part of our entertainment if they're not already performing. So live bands set an expectation, and then they must work and achieve that expectation in order to wow the audience so that when people leave, they leave full of live energy, live music, and a great opportunity to absolutely make that special occasion, which it already is, even more special.
Mm-hmm. I know I like to use the example of we all love music. We have our favorite songs. You listen to them maybe in your house or in your car, but then you go and you buy that ticket for that concert. And you know, you can listen to it for free at home, right? But you want to go to that concert and see it live. So this is the perfect example of why it's great to have that in-person performance.
And I'm actually going to jump in here with this. I mentioned this to you, Bill, a couple of months ago. As a videographer for many, many, many decades, Jennifer's laughing already, something that I've experienced, you know, when you meet with the couple ahead of time and you're talking about the wedding day and what's going to happen and so on and so forth, what I have noticed is if they're going to have a band, every single time they will tell me, Mark, we're having a band. They'll throw the name of the band at me. They're very excited about it. And I'm not putting DJs down. Remember, I started as a DJ, but I've never, ever had a couple say to me, we're going to have a DJ. It's just more or less, I think it's like an assumed situation. Mm-hmm. And I may ask, okay, who are you using for your music, you know, band or DJ? And then that's how I'll find out who the DJ is. But like I said, the excitement, their expectations, because what they want to make sure that I do during that reception is actually get shots of the band playing.
Right.
And of course, I will just, you know, get as much as I can from up behind and in front and with the crowd. And it is a very different feel with a band.
Absolutely. I mean, even when I do some, I always do a few pictures and a few recordings during the reception. And, you know, you're right. If there's a DJ, I don't bother. You know, I like to, I'm not offense to them.
Sorry, Ben.
But, you know, you like to see people dancing, but you like to see the entertainment. So it's not just the music. You're watching a performance as
right.
well.
And it is a performance, mm-hmm. but it's a performance certainly that the bride and the groom and the wedding planner also have some effect on.
Mm-hmm.
And to say some, that's minimalizing it when it really should be. We are there to follow a script and to follow a script, not necessarily about the order of the songs, but there are certain things that make a band who is prepared to do a wedding organized, efficient, set to go, understanding the cues of mm-hmm. what we're going to be doing next and following that platform. So, that's what I pride in, is trying to direct my bands in that sense mm-hmm. and work in coordination with the wedding planner.
Yeah. So to piggyback that on that a little bit, can you tell our listeners the difference between a bar band, a festival band, and a wedding band? Because there are some differences.
Well, there are. And a lot of bands don't do weddings. Mm-hmm. Not every band wants to be a wedding band. Not every band wants to be a wedding band would be the most proper way to say that. Mm-hmm. But in the bands that I work with that want to do weddings, and we head this up, we have this discussion clearly before we get started, because they're going to have to understand that at certain times, certain things are going to go on.
Right.
And I want them to be prepared to be a part of those special events within their show
mm-hmm.
and how to accentuate them, how to facilitate them.
Yeah, because often they're the MC of the whole thing.
Absolutely. How to pronounce Rohrig properly.
Right. Exactly.
And to get the bride's name and her new name properly.
That's right.
She just worked very hard, and her parents typically, not all parents pay for weddings. We've learned that
yes.
through the podcast recently, as much as they used to. But moreover, you know, to just get the enunciation and the pronouncing of things right and mm-hmm. in the right order, and to keep the show moving forward.
That's right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a band that's doing festivals, they know they're there to get the crowd wowing. Wedding band's still there to get the crowd wowing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing a venue or a bar, it is a little more laid back, mm-hmm. no doubt about it. There's less grip to follow. Wedding bands have to be more organized.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be more efficient, and everything has to run smooth. If you're at a festival or something, or at a venue where, say, a fuse blows or something goes out, you can kind of reset. At a wedding, it's got to go.
Right.
Everything's got to work smooth, or the plan is for it. Enough preparation has taken place to try to make sure. And as an agency for a wedding band, or an agent for a wedding band, I'm trying to make sure I've done my homework as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're not coming to just a venue. As Jennifer, you and I know,
yes,
I'm so fortunate to get to work with you in a couple of months mm-hmm. at a wedding, and you and I are going to be heading out to this house, and I understand Mark's going to be a part of that
yes,
one as well.
Yes, he's going to be the
videographer. Yes, I will.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking so forward
yes.
to that occasion.
And we need to go out there, because the space parameters are going to be kind of tight for a band with a dance floor and these guest tables and everything going around the pool. So it's going to be a tricky situation, and these are questions that, you know, you need to get answered before you hire and before you also, you know, lay out your plans. But speaking of that, Bill, what are some of the questions that somebody should ask you when they're thinking about hiring a band?
If they're thinking about hiring a band, because we're talking about weddings today.
Yes,
so we'll
that's
stay
right.
in the wedding mm-hmm. genre. They're wanting to know, do I get to pick some of my music?
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the things that they've certain. And the answer to that is sure. Now, if you're wanting to pick some of your music, let me tell you about what different bands do
mm-hmm.
and what they do. And hopefully you will work within that. If you're asking us to learn more songs, new music, if it's within our genre typically, we'll make every effort to try to do some of that. It may add on a little bit more cost if there's a specific situation. But typically it doesn't if it's within the genre and the band's excited about doing it and making it part of our portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often it'll become attributed to that couple as they go forward. They'll be out maybe seeing the band later at another club somewhere or at a festival. And they, oh, here's Mark and June's song.
Yes.
And I was going to ask about that. How many times when you're first in contact with the couple and they already are familiar with some of your bands, they already know. Is that fairly often, or do you find that it's more of an experience for them to see what do you have?
For a successful booking that goes to fruition, they're more familiar with the band already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That they've come, they've said, this is what we want, and can you help us with this? And if you didn't see the band at a wedding, can you help us make our wedding as special as we want it to be?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very willing to put forth that energy and put forth that effort to help bring about the proper consequences that we want.
Mm-hmm. And what about requests? Sometimes, you know, with the DJ, you can do requests, requests, requests. Typically, it's not usual for a band, but just talk a little bit about that.
Requests certainly are harder for a band.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there's certainly plenty of room in this world for all the DJs. All they've got to do is push a button.
Mm-hmm.
They can move on to another song.
That's right.
When you've got a full band on the stage, now we're trying to push a lot of buttons.
A lot, yeah.
And we're trying to change. I'm not saying that some of that can't go on.
Right.
Especially if there's a break in the action and can you open up with the next set with this song? If it's certainly within our genre, absolutely.
And I would recommend not to do requests when they're in the middle of a set because they're busy. They're going, you know, maybe write it on a little piece of paper, hand it to the planner or hand it to the sound guy or something like that.
Right.
But speaking of sound guy, can you talk a little bit about equipment and why it's important to have these special things in place? Like they should know how to handle their own sound, in other words. And
absolutely. Mm-hmm. The last thing I would ever do is book a wedding without a sound man where, say, a member of the band is running sound.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not going to work out. There's got to be that open communication where that planner can go directly to the sound man and say, can we get a little less volume?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a nice way of saying, cut the volume down, please.
Right.
all the wedding planners are always so nice about it when I know what the deal is here.
Yes.
We got to get it cut down. And so we'll do that. Usually the way I work with recommendations to our sound teams are that they start it a little less,
mm-hmm.
you know, and make it a little more as the energy builds.
And that makes sense because usually the whole show is building throughout the night.
Exactly. And by the time, you know, most of the time, people that are more in my age range have retired after about half of the reception some of the times. Mm-hmm. But if the right band's there, they'll still be there. And that's where live music really kicks in.
Yes.
It tends to hold an audience all the way through the night. If the genre was picked by the wedding couple that they wanted to entertain their guests.
Mm-hmm. And I do recommend to our couples, really think about your guests. It's not just, I know that you have to, you know, make it your own. We've said that over and over again, but in reality, you want your guests to have a good time. So you need to think about all the different ages that are going to be there. And it's really great to start your wedding music with something that's a little more open to everybody. And that, because at the beginning, that first hour, that's usually when the older people are going to dance, you know, about an hour in there, they're going to sit down and you can really crank it up. But Mark's, did you want to say something to
me? Well, another thing, and I've seen this before when they have bands and that, do you, during breaks in that, how do you guys handle that downtime? Do you actually have your sound guy? Are they playing additional music? Or what's going on during that time period?
Absolutely. Sound guy stays on point the whole night. You know, he doesn't get to take a break. He is right there continuing with the mixing, continuing because he knows our show set as well. And there are certain times with certain bands that you may not have, say, a horn section, and it's being played on the op keyboard by your keyboard player, and he knows to take the button and dial it up a little bit more right there so that you get that proper accent in a certain song, and he knows where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
He really does. So sound man, yes. The music that we may do during the break, we want the bride and groom to have a big hand in that.
Mm-hmm.
We want them. They know our genre. Was there something else?
Yes.
And many bands today don't do a lot of line music. Some are doing more line dancing mm-hmm. music. And so a lot of times during the break, it's line dancing time.
Yes. And people love line dances. I mean, that gets them out on the dance floor for sure. And then sometimes we might take that break and do the cake cutting. You know, so we can do different things during those breaks and then just have a little background music and then kick it back up again. But that is one question you want to ask a band is how many breaks you would take and how long are those breaks, correct?
Exactly. And having the proper microphone set up in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all saw my new microphone that I'm brought in today to have Sherwood check out for us or for me. So I'm basically trying to move forward so that good microphones are also set up. I'll call them auxiliary microphone
mm-hmm.
because the sound gentleman or lady, whoever's running a band sound, already has these individual band members dialed in. He's got their settings. I'm wanting another microphone over here for someone who may be saying thanks for coming. Mm-hmm. If the bride and groom wanted to make a statement.
Toast.
If a toast, mm-hmm. absolutely anything like that. So providing that auxiliary microphone operation while the band's away, getting their well-deserved and earned break, these other things can still move forward.
Mm-hmm.
The show goes on.
And speaking of microphones, you know, the ceremony, often it's outdoors here in Eastern North Carolina. So that is a question you do want to ask your band because some provide it, some don't. And so you want to make a second option or look for a second option if the band does not provide that microphone and speaker for the ceremony because it may be in a whole different other location than where the band's performing.
Exactly. And some bands offer additional things. Let's say mm-hmm. if you have a one venue wedding that you want some music at your wedding, if the wedding is being held 150, 200 yards away, then speak to the agent who's working with the wedding band and see if he can't help provide you with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something else. When you're looking into the sound and how far microphones go and the radius of them
mm-hmm.
and having a microphone that will go 130 yards, 390 feet, is a real big thing.
It is. Or if it's in a whole nother location, it could be down the street or
exactly
a mile away.
or a mile away. But
right.
Seeing if that person can't participate in that
yes.
and help you out with that. And sometimes, you know, you may even save a little money.
Right. But it is yeah. a question that you need to ask.
Yeah. And it ties into preparation again, like you were talking about before, Bill, and in terms of what you would do. So especially if you've got a venue you've not played there before,
mm-hmm.
and then they say, oh, okay, can you handle the ceremony as well? You're making an appointment to go out there to check that place out.
Probably making an appointment more than once.
Okay.
You're probably going to check it out during different weather-related situations mm-hmm. if it is an outdoor event.
So by actually checking that place out ahead of time, again, back to the whole idea of preparation, to see it and check it out not only at different times of the year, but also to kind of check it out in terms of the direction you would need to know, and you could get this information, of course, from either the couple or the wedding planner, is where is everything going to be set up? You need to know exactly where everything is. Where is that band going to be, right?
Absolutely. And where's my sound man going to be? Mm-hmm. Where he is kind of available, but not part of the show.
Right.
You know,
front and center.
Not front and center, but just available, accessible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And no one is around his power cords.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, weddings have a lot of festiveness and a lot of other things influencing how things go. And so you want to make sure that, you know, that his area is kind of protected and off out to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, and you mentioned, Mark, weather. Mm-hmm. Certainly making sure that prevailing wind that day, doing something to make some tweaking adjustments.
Right.
With microphones.
Oh, yeah.
Wind covers, things like that, that sometimes need to take place and sometimes don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And asking those questions ahead of time in regards to how much power is needed, because that's something they need to think about. Do they need a stage or not? What kinds of meals are required? Sometimes it's a box lunch. Sometimes it's a hot meal. And then dressing or break area. Mm-hmm. And is there anything else in the contract that they should really make sure they know about that you can think of, Bill?
Not really. I believe we're hitting on the main things. Mm-hmm. Their job, a band's job, is to provide a high level of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
That high level of entertainment does include trying to conform also with a wedding. So if – you know, you want to have that vision. You want to spend a little time with that wedding planner and the bride and groom to get the gist of how they want the band to look and organize its music to be a big part of, you know, to be the leaders of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always asking brides and grooms through wedding planners or directly if they're contacting me, what are y'all going to be wearing? You know, mm-hmm. if they're going to be wearing light blue, then we're probably going to come out in dark blue vest for a situation. You know, I believe in the dress code thing.
Right.
I do. And I try to work with bands that also, and they wear a lot of different colored clothing
mm-hmm.
that fits it. If it's going to be a real loose on the beach type wedding, then we're going to probably be a beach band. I'm going to have them dressed with their beach shirts on.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
something
so
that makes
that question, yeah,
and something that will work well with the photographer.
Mm-hmm.
I try to keep all the things in mind that are going to come about that these people, that this bride and groom want to reflect back on later, how that's going to look in a picture, how that's going to look in a video,
mm-hmm.
all of those things.
Very good. So explain what pieces are and why it may or may not be important to have a male and or a female singer or vocalist.
When you say pieces, we're talking about band pieces.
Correct. And some people may not know what that is. So if you can explain to them what that terminology means.
Well, let's start with, you hit on something earlier, which kind of led into that, and that's space allocation.
Mm-hmm.
So the size of a band and the size of the band show are certainly going to make a difference. So if you've got only a space that's, I'm going to say 12 by 12,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be a band show.
Right.
A band show, a 12 by 12 space, you can do well with a duet in that sort of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll still be moving around and creating a great set of entertainment, a great set of splash and energy. But if you're going to be dealing with a band, and a band can be, it could be four members.
Mm-hmm.
It's duets. It's trios. It's a band when you get to four. Okay.
Right.
And then bands run anywhere from four typically for weddings up to 12.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases. So the space allocation gets greater and greater, the larger group that you have. And a lot of times during weddings, it is true that somehow brides and bridesmaids like to join in with the band. And
yes, and maybe get up on stage.
And maybe get up on stage.
That's always some of the greatest footage right there.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And we try to make sure that that's afforded.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing else, if there's not really space on the stage, then I like to make sure that the lead singer has a remote mic where he can move in with them.
Yeah, that's fun.
On the dance floor, yes.
On the dance floor. Mm-hmm. And so that's another reason for, again, working with someone and work who tries to make sure that those things are available. And a lot of times you may plan for it and it doesn't happen, but more often if you don't plan for it, they'll want it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or they may not realize that, hey, I can have this. And then they think, wow, that was so much fun that that lead vocalist came down and was working with us. And we had a lot of fun yelling and screaming and doing this fun dance.
And so when we say pieces, we're really talking about the music, whether we're talking guitars, we're talking horns. Most bands all have a drummer involved with them.
Maybe a keyboard.
Yeah. Well, when you get into the drummer and your bass player being your rhythm section in a band of the organization and so forth. So it's a lot of fun. I enjoy working with wedding bands. I enjoy helping bride and grooms make their day even more special. And I enjoy wowing their guest.
Making it personal.
Exactly.
What a tagline.
That's right. So another question that they want, and I know we touched upon this a little bit, but to make sure that you ask about what the break schedule is going to be like. You know, how long is that going to be? What is going to happen during the break session? Will they play background music? Will they play line dances like we discussed? Those kinds of things. Is there anything else in regards, what is a typical time that most bands play for a wedding?
Most bands typically have a 3-hour set. Mm-hmm. Now, that can be divided up. In most situations, it would be a 90-minute set, a 20-minute break, or sometimes a 30-minute break, depending if it's an outside setting or an inside. If you've got control climate, 20 will usually accomplish it. But when you go to 30, if it's an outside, sometimes they'll even change part of their dress to get more comfortable for the last 90-minute set. So it would be at least a full 30 minutes of band-played music, and then somewhere about 20 to 30 minutes. So 3.5 hours. Mm-hmm. I typically get a lot of requests around, can you do a 4-hour event? Mm-hmm. Well, we would open up a 4-hour event by having some background music playing when you came in.
Yes.
And that's something you look at it in terms of, it's a break, but it's not a downtime.
No.
In other words, you're just going to shift gears for a little bit. The show is still going to be that high.
But you need
energy.
To make sure that they don't, because I've heard of stories where the band just, they took their break and there was no background music.
Correct. Yeah.
So we don't want that to happen. That's why it's important to ask that. I know most of our bands in this area don't do that, and I've never experienced it, but I have heard of stories. I know we talked about, you were just talking about outside, and of course the weather plays a lot here in North Carolina, that, you know, we get those afternoon thunderstorms and it might rain for 15 minutes. So something that our listeners need to think about, if they're under a tent, for example, that maybe some sidewalls, even if you don't go all the way around, because that'll make the tent hot, at least sidewalls behind the band to protect their equipment.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It would be in the script, in the writing, to make sure that that they are protected. And if you've had a wind event during it, that also helps with that and so forth, especially in open areas.
Yes.
Of course.
And that can come up. I've seen weddings where it's beautiful, beautiful, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, you get a storm come through, and then 10 minutes later, it's gone.
Right.
So we have to plan for those things, and you don't want the band's equipment to get ruined, even if it didn't happen actually during the actual reception. It's already there. They prep, you know, hours before.
Yeah. And in preparation, allowing for that, is it just a minimum of, I'm saying, 3 to 4 hours prior. And if we're doing a wedding at 7, especially if it's a one venue a wedding operation, you've got to be set up way before guests ever arrive.
For the ceremony, absolutely. And you need to ask that question too. How long does it take for the band to set up? Because some can come in and set up and do their sound check in an hour or two. Others need 4 or 5 hours. It depends on the size. And then also, how long does it take them to clean up? Because if you only have so many hours at your venue, you may be going over time. So that's something else you need to think about.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. And that time is equally as important.
That's right.
To making the whole event run smoothly and everyone's expectations are met. And if a wedding planner has had a hand in maybe recommending a band or recommending an agency to do this, that agency needs to be able to deliver what they've told.
Right. And you don't want the venue to hold you back from having that experience because you only have it for, 4 or 5 hours, let's say, plus 2 hours of setup and cleanup.
And as a band, and I'm going to give you an experience, not with a wedding, but as a band, if you've got a venue helping pack your stuff up to get you out the door at the end of the night, the next show's not going to be pretty.
Right. I never touch the band's equipment, period.
Well, I don't either, but if it, late at night, sometimes some venues are ready to go home.
Oh, yes. Oh, believe me, we have been there all day. I understand that.
One other thing I was going to say about, so when you, and this, again, it gets into the planning, right, Jennifer? All of this does.
Absolutely.
That initial wedding planning. And if you're selecting a venue, knowing that, you know what, we might like to have a band, you better talk to somebody first.
Yes.
Because that venue, you may be able to look at it and you think, oh, this will work. Mm-hmm. This will be perfect for the band. But you need to talk to the other professionals, in this case, maybe a wedding planner.
Yeah, and the venue coordinator as well, because
right.
You got to make sure that not only the time that we just discussed, but also the space. Because you have, a band usually requires a stage, and that stage is going to be a minimum of probably 12 by 20 for most bands at a wedding.
Right.
And then I've had bands say, well, you need to also include 3 feet away from the wall because they want to put their light trusses up. Mm-hmm. So now we've added another 3 feet. Then you have the dance floor. Then you have all the guest tables. You have to make sure all that's going to fit.
You've got room for 10 guests.
Yes. I'm sorry.
We can put them over here in this corner.
Yes. Please cut your guest count if you want this band.
Well, and the lights do matter. I have all of the entertainers I work with now. Mm-hmm. They say, well, Bill, once my, some of the smaller ones, smaller groups have said, well, Bill, what time will the show start? And I'll say to them, oh, you've added lights. Lights, it becomes a show.
It does.
When you put the lights with it.
I'm telling you, couples love the lights. And sometimes they're included and sometimes they're an add-on. What are some other add-ons that they can maybe ask a band about?
Well, it probably is more about what they do and it's about the music. Mm-hmm. If you're asking a band to learn an extra song or a special song, that's going to be an add-on for that. If they, one, first off, have the capability of doing it. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about an add-on, sometimes you'll get in a situation, been there and done it. They'll say, we want you for one more hour. Mm-hmm. And we have to look at them and say, okay, that was not part of the contract. I tell folks, if you really want this band for one more hour, and it's a last-minute add-on, and sometimes it's the dad or the groom, everything is flowing right and so forth, then I'll say, you must discuss that with me prior to the break.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Prior to the break.
And that needs to really be discussed with your venue, your planner, everybody, even the bartender, because all those people have to stay. And if that was not discussed, and I will say not even at the break, I'm saying ahead of time, what happens if?
It would have to be. It's not like the old encore,
right?
Where they're lighting up.
Most venues don't even allow that anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you're ending at 10 and you have to be out by, let's say, 11 or midnight.
Right.
Well, it doesn't typically happen at weddings, although I've seen it happen. Mm-hmm. I've been a part of it.
Yes.
So, of a situation, but really it comes down to one, a wedding. If I was working with a wedding planner, I would say all that has to go through the wedding planner, mm-hmm. and the wedding planner's got to be working. Everybody else is out and then coming to me and saying, if I'm with the band or with the person who's with the band, it's got to be brought up, you know, before the break.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know earlier you had mentioned most couples have seen this band or have experienced them in some way, shape or form. But let's say that there's a couple that is just looking for a band. They're not familiar with any. What are some ways that they, without actually going to a wedding, what are some ways that they can look at their work?
Well, there's the immediate ability to try to look at some video. Mm-hmm. I really don't like that as a source. It's, if it's a last resort, I more often would rather say, can you meet me somewhere and let me slip you in with me? Mm-hmm. I did that this past Saturday night with a singer, with some folks who were interested in booking one of my clients. Mm-hmm. I called the venue that he was playing at. They were more than welcome for them. Said, sure, don't have them come in when the door opens, mm-hmm. but have them come about 30 minutes later. And they went in for a nice 30-minute visit. And then they called me and called me on Sunday and said, yeah, go ahead and book them. We're good.
And this goes back to seeing it on a video or hearing it versus seeing it in person. I know that it is more important to see it in person, but I was just thinking if they were in a pinch,
in a pinch,
a promo video or something.
In a promo video, in a pinch, mm-hmm. that's the best you can do.
And most websites carry those videos, or YouTube, or where do they find these at?
They find the accent in most cases through a website, mm-hmm. pointing them maybe to YouTube or to a place where it can be picked up.
Okay.
That being said, with the situation of hearing them play, it's sometimes the reason I like the live is not everybody's equipment sounds the same.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So sometimes if they're trying to listen to it on a phone or on something, it may not sound really as good as they would have been live. So here again, I'm going to go back to my saying, for the wow, go live.
So in Eastern North Carolina, Bill, what would you think is the range of pricing? You know, maybe the lower end up to the higher end for wedding bands.
I'm going to say $2,500 to $5,000.
Okay. That seems about right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you can, and it's going to be based upon location, it's going to be based upon time, it's going to be based upon how many are in the band, mm-hmm. it's going to be based upon variety, mm-hmm. all of those types of things that which enter into it.
And there's lots of popular bands out there, and they get booked quickly. What do you think is the best timeline to suggest to our listeners to book your actual live entertainment?
My number is, where I'm going with that is, go ahead and book. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say go ahead and book, go ahead and contact whatever the contact number is before that preferred band. Ask them to say, get a feel for them on their price, get a feel from them on their availability, and ask them for a 2-week hold. If you've got a date coming up, you know, 6 months and on further, and that date's available, most people will work with you for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
That's reasonable and gives mm-hmm. you a little time to resonate. That's kind of how I run a lot of my situations.
Talk to the venue, talk to your significant other. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
If they're your first choice, go ahead and get that choice. Keep it as an option, or no, it's not an option.
Yeah, I know last spring in general was just crazy busy because we're coming off of COVID. But, you know, I did have a couple brides who wanted a wedding band, excuse me. And we were looking and looking, and everybody was booked. We kept seeing these bands booked. And so it took her a little while. I mean, she had it was several weeks that she was looking, trying to find somebody. So I love your advice. Make sure you just, if you like them, book them and just get it done as soon as possible, because they probably will be
locked down.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything else, Bill, that you think that our listeners should know about before we end today?
I think our listeners it really comes down to having the right organization of the planning. You know, first, I think most people see it as getting involved with the right wedding planner. I think from the wedding planner, listening to that wedding planner and how she advises you to go about what's most important to you. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the photographer. Maybe it's the person performing the ceremony. In my case, I hope it's about the live music. It could be about, honestly, the photographer, but getting those key components and getting that wedding planner's opinion.
So just to recap a little bit, having a band can bring in a lot of energy to your wedding. Just be sure that you ask those questions. You understand that there's parameters with your venue and size, of course, with your budget and, you know, what they require. And then, of course, what they offer. And I just want to thank you, Bill, and thank you, Mark, for joining us today and sharing your knowledge with our listeners. Once again, I appreciate that. I'd also like to thank PS Productions for hosting this ENC Wedding Talk podcast. PS Productions has proudly served our Eastern North Carolina community with quality photography, video, audio productions, lighting, and sound rentals, as well as live entertainment featuring several bands for over 16 years. If you would like to ask questions or have a topic you'd like us to address, please email us at encweddingtalkshow@gmail.com. That's encweddingtalkshow@gmail.com. I'm Jennifer Bertling, and I thank you for your time and being with us. Until next time, take care.